Welcome back, everyone, to GDC Live. We're here at the Azure booth in beautiful, not sunshiny, San Francisco. I usually say that because I'm in Seattle and it's never sunshiny ever. But I have Kayla here, all the way in from the Carolinas. So yeah. Welcome to beautiful San Francisco.
Thank you.
Yes, and you're going to be talking, you're from the VSTS team, specifically around our source control. And we're really excited because yesterday we had Ed on and Dimitri on talking about kind of VSTS and Git at a high level. We didn't really deep dive into what does it mean to actually build my games, build my apps inside of source control, and what are the features that VSTS has to offer. So what drew you to the VSTS team and what are your responsibilities over there?
Yeah, so I'm a program manager for the version control part of the product. I work primarily on our clients, actually, our Visual Studio integration, our integrations with IntelliJ, Eclipse, and VS Code. But I also work on some of the web features as well.
Oh, cool. So when I'm a developer using VSTS, am I in the portal all the time? Or like, what are those integrations that you're talking about?
So you can be in the portal all the time if you want, but sometimes it's nice to be able to see some of those things while you're in the IDE. So if you're in Visual Studio, you might be able to see some work items that are assigned to you, pull requests that are assigned to you as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and you don't have to go all the way to the web.
Well, that's nice too, because if I'm a developer using different tools, it's not like you listed off like IntelliJ IDE and so what are the other integrations that we have?
In terms of IDEs?
Yeah.
So we have integrations in VS Code as well as Eclipse. And then for IntelliJ, it's actually the IntelliJ platform. So you have Android Studio, Rider, all those other ones.
Oh, very nice. So sometimes, yeah, even though Visual Studio is in the name, it's not only Visual Studio.
It's very deceptive.
Yeah. Because here, we're just talking about Git and our source control inside of VSTS. And I'm imagining it's any Git. It's not a special Microsoft Git, correct?
Yes, it's any Git.
Yeah. So what do you want to talk about today? What do you want to show off inside the portal when it comes to Git at a high level? I mean, why should developers even care about source control?
Well, developers should really care about source control. It really makes sure that you're able to track your work, make sure you don't step on the toes of your teammates. It's just really good practice.
Yeah. And I used to use some of the older source control, more centralized source control. And so someone that works directly inside of VSTS on the Git side of it, the source control, what are the benefits to using Git itself?
So Git is a distributed version control system. One of the benefits is that, you know, every developer has a full copy of the repo, the full history. It's all local, so you don't have to be connected to a server. You can work remotely. A lot of the operations that are local, they're fast. So you don't have these issues with performance that you might with other centralized version control systems.
Gotcha. So in a centralized source control, I'm putting everything on the server and I'm relying on that server connection compared to, hey, I just clone and I have it locally and I'm good.
Yeah.
So how can VSTS help out? And maybe for anyone new, can you just, you know, maybe didn't watch yesterday, what is VS? And we're going to say VSTS a lot. We're all about acronyms here at Microsoft. So Visual Studio Team Services, what is that?
Yeah, so Visual Studio Team Services, like I said, very deceptive name.
Yes.
You don't need to be using Visual Studio, you can use anything. It's basically our DevOps offering. You have support for version control, work item tracking, builds and releases, just sort of the whole cycle. So I can talk specifically more about version control. I don't know if that's something we should dig deeper into.
Yeah. Let's take a look. We're here. We have this Galactic Dodge. You guys are demoing this here at GDC in the booth, correct?
Yeah, sort of a demo that we have. So I've hooked here into the code hub here, and it's, you know, very similar to other hosts. You have a list of all the files. You have all these here. You have a tree on the left side, so it's a little similar to your Windows Explorer.
Yeah.
You know, you can click in here. We have like the README, and you can see, you know, README. You can also preview in Markdown. We have Markdown support as well. So we also have, you know, you can view the history of the file. You can compare, blame. Basically, your typical functionality that
kind
you have.
Kind of what developers are expecting nowadays when it comes in, because to me, I'm just used to the very first step ever for me was I have this code on my machine. Stop using Dropbox to sync my code or OneDrive or any other sync service. You could do that, but at the same time, what's the history or what it is? And here we can actually see who updated it, when it happened, and what PRs it was associated with as well, it seems like. So For a high level, it seems like once I get that into Git, then I get all these great benefits from it.
Yes.
Is that kind of the goal of it in general?
Exactly.
Got it. So what is a compare and what is a blame? I always see blame all the time.
Yeah, so blame basically tells you who touched the code last. So here you can see this first line here, Rogan, he touched it, and we can see his email address, we can see the commit that changed it, and when he changed it.
So when is that useful? Like, when would a developer go in and actually do this? I mean, it literally says blame. So does that mean like we're gonna start yelling at people around the office, or what is the real use case for this thing?
It depends on how your team operates. Some may do that, but a lot of it's just to see like who's most familiar with this code, who touched it last. You know, if I'm doing this new function and I'm not familiar with it, and you know, it's just taking me a while to get my head around it, maybe it's just faster if I, you know, talk to the person who touched it last.
Very cool. Yeah, and it's really great because it's kind of all clumped together. I can see right here at a high level that the dates, the times that was changed, and the commit. Because often I'm committing so much code, I forget a year later, like, why did I change that?
Yep. Yeah, and so it's great. So you can actually click on a commit, and you can actually see the commit. You can see the pull request that was associated with it. You can see the changes, who did it and when.
And you can see that beautiful commit message of updating that file.
Yep.
Yeah.
If there's more information, you can see that as well. But this one's very terse message.
Now you just hovered over some stuff, and what's happening here? It looks like it's also interactive.
Yeah. So like I mentioned, you know, you can click and see who made changes, when they did it, where it exists, and which branches, and the pull request here. The pull request view is actually pretty interesting. You can see which pull requests it's included in.
That's really cool. It seems like almost you don't even have to leave this page, right? Because sometimes when I go into other source control, I essentially open a tab, and I'm like, oh, it's like tab craziness in Chrome. But here I can just start hovering. I was thinking that when you clicked on pull request, it was going to jump out to some other really crazy thing, but it's all kind of integrated here.
Yeah, and I mean, if we wanted to go see more details, we could click in and open the pull request details.
What are these little commenty things on here? What's going on here?
So you can actually leave comments on specific parts of the code. Some teams like to leave comments on commits. Generally, my team, we use comments only on pull requests. But it depends on your workflow.
So if you're coming in, you're doing like code review style, is this the optimal way of doing that?
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. Cool.
So the comments says markdown supported. You can put markdown in there. You can mention work items.
Is there an easy way? If someone's brand new, now you already have this repo added to it. Like, how would someone create like something new? Like, can you walk me through the new scenario of getting code up there, perhaps?
Yeah. So we don't have to. I won't make us create a brand new account, but we can sort of create another repo here.
Oh, so I'm inside of this project, and I have multiple repos.
Yep, you can do that. You can also create a brand new project and create a brand new repo. So we can just say, you know, we'll just call it new project for lack of a better name. Sure, why don't we add a README? We don't need the ignore for now. And you can create, you know, a brand new repo. So here, got a new repo, got a README. It's all the best.
Is private code public code?
This is private. We actually have unlimited private repositories, and we actually don't have size limits.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
For free?
For free.
So I'm a new developer. I don't have to pay Microsoft anything to host my code or to do anything. I just create an account.
Yep.
Free.
Yes.
And unlimited size, as much code as humanly possible.
Yes, for better or for worse.
I'm going to put my whole computer in source control. Very cool. And then it seems from here, there's a whole bunch of others. Do you just want to walk through maybe the life and the day of a developer working in Git inside of VSTS?
Yeah, so I'm actually going to go back to the other project.
You go to the other project.
A little more interesting.
This is a pretty great project, but not really necessarily
ideal. So I'm going to do a really small change, and we can sort of walk through the end to the end.
Sure.
So let's say I'm just changing the README. I don't know.
And you can just do it right in lines with a full code editor right here.
Yeah, so this is actually the Monaco editor. It's actually the same one that was used in VS Code. So you see we have syntax highlighting. There's a lot of other cool things. You can do links. You can, you know, click to follow links, things like that.
Nice.
So I just added another line. We can actually preview the changes because this is a Markdown file. You can see what's going to look like. So for example, if I wasn't as familiar with Markdown, I thought, oh, wait, shouldn't this be another line? I might say like, oh, okay, there's what I wanted to do.
Number one common, I always mess it up all the time.
Exactly. And additionally, I can see the changes and see what the diff looks like.
Oh, very cool.
But let's just commit it. I updated the README. So I could commit directly to master, which
that's what I prefer to just always write to master, go, go, go. Always be crushing code, right?
And no, if I were working alone, maybe I could do that. But this project, I actually have a team, so let's not do that. We usually on my team will prefix the branches. So I would do like users and then my namespace, and we'll just say like updated README.
So you're going to create a new branch?
Yep.
You don't have to go anywhere, it's going to happen.
Exactly.
Okay.
If we had a work item for this, which we don't, but I could add one as well. You can see there's different work items here. So maybe I'm just starting work for a brand new feature, and I said, okay, I want these to be associated. Yeah. I can do that right here. And if you go visit the work item later, it'll see the branch.
So kind of some traceability between the code. I'm so used to, oh, I have to remember number 42 magically is the thing that I'm working on today, and that'll somehow align when I fix it. And if I remember to use fixes or fix, not fixed, but some magical term.
Yeah.
So if I'm working on this and it's a feature, a task, when it pulls in, does it essentially know how to open and close things, or how does that work?
Yeah, so actually, why don't we just assign...
Do it.
We'll do it. We'll say it's an accessibility feature,
like
even though it's not.
to me, it's an accessibility README feature. Yeah.
We can also create a pull request right here, too.
Oh, cool.
So let's do that. I'm not making any other changes.
I like that because sometimes on our team, how we work on a lot of our projects is we say, create the pull request as fast as possible so people know, because we're working open source often, but just so the team knows that you're working on that thing. Obviously if you're working with our work item, you may have that traceability, but sometimes I work off of what are the active pull requests so I don't start new work. So you can just one click do it.
Yeah, so here we see my branch. It's going to master, we got the title, description. I can add reviewers here. So let's say I want, Rogan to take a look at that. I can add him, and you can see I can add more work items, or it's already got that one added here. You can review the files and the commits as well, and I can just create it.
That's nice. I mean, there's a lot of rich functionality happening right there. I don't know if people even really understood what actually just happened. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Can you walk through what am I seeing here? This is bananas.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things going on right here. In this account, we have a PR build set up. So every time you create a pull request, it's going to kick off a build.
Oh.
This basically helps make sure that your code is good. You don't want to be merging in stuff that's going to break the build.
Yeah.
If you actually follow this link, you can go look at the build progress.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So, that's cool context. Directly from my PR that I literally just created, it's already building.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yep. We have some other policies here as well. I need at least one reviewer to approve it. If I don't, it won't let me approve this. I could try. It'll tell me I can't.
So did Rogan just get an email or a notification?
Yes, he did.
Oh, very cool. what are you doing, Gayla? What's going on?
Oh, he's been sending me notifications all day. for reviewers, actually, this is interesting. We actually have it set up where if I touch specific files and specific code paths, it'll add reviewers. So if you say Joe, he's an expert about this part of the code path, every time someone changes a file here, we want him to look at it.
Yeah.
We can automatically have him added.
That's really cool because often onboarding new developers onto a project, it's good to say, oh, I was working on the AI, and now someone new come on the team, they tweak some code, I'm going to go add James on because he's the AI. I'm not the AI person, but if I was, in my mind, then we could do that. What else is this? This is labels and other stuff.
Yeah, so labels, you can label with a bunch of different things. So here, there's a few that we've already used. So critical, so maybe if you were looking through pull requests and say, oh, this one's labeled critical, maybe I should look at that one first.
Got it.
And you can also say work in progress, so people know hey, this isn't final, just take a look at it. So then we have a whole feed here where you can add comments. You can see the files, updates. We even have a conflicts extension as well.
What's conflict? What does that mean?
Yeah, so if there's a conflict between the changes I have here and the ones that would basically be introduced when I were to merge the pull request, it'll notify me, hey, you know, you have conflicts that are going to prevent you from merging.
Got it.
This extension, it lets me resolve very easy conflicts. If it's really complicated, it's going to throw its hands up probably, tell me to go back to the IDE, but sometimes...
That's when you would pull it down into Visual Studio or Code or tell it JSON.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then, essentially, how does your team work on this? Like, what is the day in the life of a PR on the VSTS team? Because you're building VSTS, which is built inside of VSTS.
It's a little bit of inception, right?
It is, which is really cool. So how would your team work here, essentially?
So, you know, different people work different ways, but one way is you can go look at the pull request view of the repo, and you can see all the pull requests that are assigned to you or your team created by you as well. So, for example, here I can see that Rogan has a pull request, and I might say, oh, like there's new things since I last looked at it. So I can see there's this little blue dot here, it tells me there's new stuff. It just says it's a new pull request. So I could look at it. I might look at some of the changes. So you can see here his PR build has expired. But here, actually, he's left a comment. He said, hey, look at this user story. I might come in and say, like, you know, I don't like it with the markdown at this level.
This is terrible.
Like, yes, we can say that. This is terrible. With a smiley face, so, you know, he doesn't feel too bad.
And it even shows a little emoji in line.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah, so you do get a preview. So, like I said, there's markdown support, so, like, I can see what it's going to look like down here.
Oh, that's nice.
And we also give you some little hints, too. Like, if you want to do italics or link, you can sort of get the help there.
In case you're not a markdown expert.
Exactly. So I can reply. I can also, like, I can make, sorry, it's a little big here. I can make edits to the comment here. I can change them, go back if I decide, you know, I don't want that. When Rogan goes through, after he, you know, sees that I told him it's terrible, he might, you know, write a reply.
Yeah.
He might just decide to resolve it and say, you know, that's feedback. I'm not going to do anything about it.
Yeah.
And if he resolves it, you know, he can see that all his comments are resolved.
That's cool.
And that's actually one of the policies we have here. So he's not allowed to merge it if there are comments that haven't been addressed.
Oh, that's really nice, because often, a lot of times when I'm doing a PR, there's a plethora of conversation. Is that API correct? Is that implementation correct? Should we even be doing this? I mean, these are some times that are in there, and a lot of times I never know exactly how to resolve them. And it seems like VSTS has that all kind of built in to do it. Especially, and that, to me, really helps teams that are collaborative, because often it is sometimes one developer, I'm just working on it, but it's good for me to have a debate with myself, I guess, you know, on it. But for teams, it seems really great.
Yeah, and the debate with yourself is good too, because like I said, the PR still exists. When we were looking at the commit earlier, you can go click that PR and see all the comments and conversations, comments you might have left for yourself.
Very cool.
You can imagine in a bigger PR when there's a lot more files, you might want to like filter by the different comments. Oh, here are all of them. Here's only the ones that are active. I don't need to see the ones that we resolved. It just helps you focus your review.
Got it. So now that we have the PR, we'll pretend it's the best thing ever. You can approve it. It gets merged in. Now we're in master. It's good. Now, what if I'm someone brand new, though? I'm coming in, and I don't know anything about the source code, and I'm looking for something. Can VSTS integration kind of help me find stuff in the code? Like, there's some searchability, or is it just here's a bunch of files, go figure it out?
Yeah, there's definitely some searchability. So there's actually a code search extension. So we have that installed here. It's free. Anyone can install it. So we could search anything. I don't know. What do you want to search?
I don't know. Let's search for a file, perhaps?
Sure. Well, so like we said, we have the README, so we can search for that. And it could pull that up. Additionally, if we were in the files view as we were before, we could do that as well. So here you can see here's the README. We actually have one in the other project that we created before, so this searches across all of your projects.
Oh, that's nice. So it's not just the single repo, it's the entire project.
Yeah, and if you want it only in your repo, we could go directly to that repo. We can go to the files view and we could say, okay, you know, let's search for, you know, README here, and you can see it's matching everything with RE and saying, oh, maybe you're looking for some of these other things. We could go deep, dig in further. We can also just use this to, you know, navigate and go back, sort of a breadcrumb up there.
Very cool. Now, if I see something, you know, if I want to get this code on my machine, like what's some best practices there? I saw that we created a branch earlier, but, you know, are there other ways of getting it down on the machine easier? Yeah. Like, you know, a lot of people like to fork projects and the thing. Like, what's some guidance there and how can VSTS help?
So it really depends on your workflow. If you're all just working with the same repo and you're not really in a forking workflow, you can just clone it. We have the URL here. We also support SSH if you want to use SSH as well. Or you can sort of clone it in your favorite IDE, Visual Studio, Android, as I was mentioning, Android Studio, and all these other ones as well.
Yeah, because it's just a Git repo, right?
Yep.
So then anyone can do it command line through any of these things, especially with the extensions, it's probably super easy.
Yep.
And really that's more managing the credentials part of it, because this is all private repos, so everything that you need.
Yeah. But the other thing you mentioned was forking. Yeah. So we do let you fork. You can fork into the project, create your own copy of the repo, and so then you can commit directly to master if you wanted without, you know, worrying about stepping on the toes of your teammates. So here I can create a fork of it, and you've got the Galactic Dodge. We'll make a new fork. Let's only copy over the master branch.
All right.
And we're just gonna create the fork.
So now I'm essentially taking this project and pulling it into my own project.
Yes.
Correct. Interesting. And is it still associated now with that project, or is it a separate thing? Like, what just happened?
So it's still associated with that project. The way to think of it, it's like a sort of a fork family.
Got
the
it.
Original repo is the parent, and here's sort of a child fork of it.
I see. So if your team wants to work with branches. If your team wants to work with forks.
Exactly.
If you're like my team, we never decided, so we got forks and branches and who knows.
Same with my team.
Yeah. Like, do you have some guidance there? What is your personal opinion of forks versus branches?
That's a good question. I think it really just depends on what's working for your team. Yeah, I don't think necessarily you should do one or the other. I think people do like the forking flow a lot, especially in the open source community. That's where the flow became popularized for the most part, right? You don't want people that you don't know working in your repo, so you tell them, go fork the repo, make some changes, and you can bring them back. But if you trust everyone on your team, it may be easier just to work in the same repo and just do branches, have branch policies,
okay,
so you can protect that main branch, because you still kind of trust everyone. And so that's another way to work as well.
Now, we saw earlier, kind of when we created the pull request, that there was some traceability there to some work items. Is there the reverse, though? Like, let's say I release version 2 of my game, and I want to go see what code is. Is there some traceability in the release part of it that you're able to show?
Yeah, so
I'm just asking you random, like, everyone, there's unscripted. I'm just asking random questions. I have no idea Kayla has any of this set up, but of course she does.
Well, we'll see if it's set up.
Yeah.
So here you can see a build that was completed. Actually, this one has stuff here. So,
very cool.
There's the completed build. This was actually the one that was kicked off as a part of the pull request that I created. You can see the changes here. There's the commit. We can see the work item, and we can find that as well. And we can see if there's any deployment. So here, this was just a pull request build, so it hasn't actually been deployed. But if we were to go back and look at one of the other builds, I think we had one for master here, yeah?
Okay.
We can see that it's actually, let's see if it's been deployed. It has been deployed to the 3 different environments. So we have it to dev, blue, green, and production.
Very cool. So not only can I see what triggered it, what went into it, and where the code actually is.
Yeah.
I think to me that's really powerful is now we're kind of tying the things together, right?
Yeah.
It's there. But if I don't have my code in VSTS, can I get it in VSTS? Like, what's some kind of, what do I need to do? It's on my machine, or it's on GitHub, or it's on somewhere else. Can I get it in here easily somehow?
Yeah, so if it's already on your machine, you can, you know, create a repo, and you can push it up. Here, we also have an import feature, so you can import it here.
Oh, cool.
Give it the URL, so if it's on GitHub, we even have an example here, GitHub/Microsoft. You can do that. In the event that you're still using TFVC and you want to start moving your stuff to Git, we actually allow you to migrate that as well.
So you can migrate. So we talked a little bit about Team Foundation version control. and a lot of people are moving to Git, especially Microsoft too. We can talk about that here in a little in the final few minutes, but this will actually migrate everything.
Yeah, so it'll migrate sort of the tip that you have, and we let you migrate some history. We let you migrate up to 180 days. So that's pretty good. A lot of times people will still have their repo, their TFEC repo in the project as well, so they can still refer back to the history as they need to.
And Ed was talking about, they're very different, you know, so it's hard to even map it, but we probably try to do as much as we can.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Cool. Okay, so now that we've kind of seen, are there any other features you want to highlight? Anything I missed that you missed or what do you think?
No, I think those are the main ones, yeah.
We got the code in there. I love the traceability of it. I think that seems to be some of my favorite parts is, as a developer, yeah, I want to just crush code all the time, but at the same time, I know it's going to be deployed, whether it's a game, whether it's my back end, whether it's my website, and we can kind of tie this together. So how are we at Microsoft using it? You are literally on the VSTS team, and we mentioned that VSTS built itself. So what are kind of the pushes for Microsoft to go Git first?
Yeah, so we really just want to move as much as we can onto a single engineering system. The community is moving to Git. There's a lot of resources out there. We kind of just want to be part of that. So we're moving a lot of our teams to Git as we can. I think you probably talked with Ed earlier about the Git virtual file system. So Windows, very big repo, couldn't move to vanilla Git. And so, you know, we made some changes to vanilla Git to make that work for them. But we really want everyone to be using Git as much as we can.
Nice. And if someone has a huge, crazy game, so there's unlimited storage, how does VSTS work with the other things that we talked about, virtual file system and large file
storage.
I didn't want to say system because that's like it's not system. It is an app, but it's not large file storage.
It works.
It just works. Out of the box works.
Yeah.
Very cool. So that means I can then use VSTS for all of my assets that can be stored into blob storage. And is it transparent to me as a dev? Like there's nothing I have, it's just there, it works.
Yeah, you can just use Git LFS as you've been using it, you know, elsewhere. I think we don't have any limits actually, so.
Very cool.
Go ahead.
And it's free.
And it's free.
And it's free, 100%. So unlimited private Git repos. Very cool. All right, any parting words, anything final? Where do people go to get started? Where do people go to get this goodness?
Yeah, so to go get this, you can go to visualstudio.com and you can get started for free. Create an account, kick the tires, try it out.
Yeah, very cool. So go check it out. Completely free, unlimited Git repos, and honestly, crazy powerful.
Yeah.
I love it. Kayla, thank you so much for coming on and showing off all the cool Git features.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So stick around for even more live from GDC in beautiful San Francisco, California.